Well, we continue with the nation's big conversation now, turning to matters to do with humanitarian. Now, humanitarian aid often, of course, arrives after a disaster has already struck. But what if support could reach families before drought pushes them into crisis? Now, for the first time, the World Food Programme and the government of South Sudan have activated a drought anticipatory action plan, providing cash assistance and early warning information to more than 65,000 people in Budi and Kapoita North counties in eastern Equatorial State before conditions worsen. Well, to tell us more about how this works and why it matters, I'm joined in the studio by Thompson Avery from WFP. A very good morning and welcome to the program, Thompson. This is being described as South Sudan's first ever drought anticipatory action plan. For someone hearing this for the first time, the term for the term anticipatory action, what exactly is it?
Firstly, Juma, thanks for having me here, and good morning to South Sudan. It's great to be here. Put simply, anticipatory action is when you front load humanitarian assistance before the onset of the disaster. Now, traditional humanitarian aid usually responds after a crisis hits. Anticipatory action turns that model upside down. And with the use of climate forecasts and data, you then trigger assistance before the worst impacts of the drought unfolds. And this allows vulnerable families to protect their lives, assets, and livelihoods ahead of time.
And why were Budi and Kapoita North counties chosen for this intervention? And what is the situation facing communities there? What is it like?
Well, look, it speaks to the climate variability, really, in South Sudan. We are in the middle of a rainy season. Some parts of the country are drowning. And I know it might catch some listeners by surprise that actually we're talking about a drought. Now, we've activated this plan in Budi and Kapoita North counties in eastern Equatoria, and it directly shields about 65,000 people. These are agro-pastoral communities that rely entirely on seasonal rainfall. There has been a prolonged dry spell there. And once you have a dry spell mid-season, it can quickly wipe out their crops and livestock. So early intervention is absolutely critical.
Well, I want to bring attention to this because we've been receiving also some messages. Usually we have citizen report where citizens are saying there are some areas that are also having dry spells. You know, it's not raining for months and issues continue to, you know, farmers continue to have issues of crops, you know, harvesting and all that. But is there any plan for you as WFP to also extend to other counties across the country?
Well, it really speaks again to the extreme climate volatility in South Sudan at this point in time. There are some regions that are facing historic flooding, but eastern Equatoria is suffering from severe prolonged dry spells. The climate crisis is not uniform. We are seeing shorter, unpredictable rainy seasons and scorching temperatures that dry up pasture land very, very rapidly. And the erratic weather means we must be agile enough for us to be able to support. Now, you can only have finite resources. And because this is a scientific methodology that we use that relies on a very sophisticated matrix of meteorology, satellite imagery, and historical data, and we realize that eastern Equatoria is worse affected than other areas. We just have to hyper-prioritize and then say, where are the worst affected areas? And at what point in the agricultural season are they affected? And then you realize that in eastern Equatoria, it is at that critical period when they're supposed to be farming and they can't because it's too dry, or when their livestock is worst affected from diminishing pasture land. That's why we have responded there. However, we are equally concerned about the needs elsewhere in the country. And our plan really, indeed, is to scale up such responses to ensure that everybody who is vulnerable receives assistance.
The plan includes both cash assistance and early warning messages. What kind of support are families receiving and how will it help them prepare for the months ahead?
Oh, so It is indeed a combination of communication support, which are messages that we are broadcasting through radio stations, through traditional groups, through women's networks. But also beyond that, we are providing cash assistance. The cash assistance helps communities to buy food, to buy fresh water, to protect their livelihoods or their pasture land, and that helps them really when the situation deteriorates further, when the conditions deteriorate.
So the cash assistance will continue until the situation stabilizes.
It's a once-off cash distribution that we provide to communities, and then they buy food whilst the prices are still reasonable, and then they store this food to cushion them at the peak of the hunger season.
If the situation continues, does that mean WFP will also continue providing cash assistance?
We can provide assistance, humanitarian assistance after the fact. The beauty of what we have done now, Juma, is that it is cheaper for us to respond now, number one. And yes, we will continue to fundraise. And if we are successful with resources, we would love to support people beyond what we have done now.
We often hear about humanitarian aid arriving after a crisis. How does providing assistance before a disaster make a difference for families and their livelihoods?
In humanitarian response, time is of the essence. Time can be the difference between survival and death. Our ability to respond now is such that it is timely and it is less costly than it would way after the onset of the disaster. So we really want to continue to push the boundaries of humanitarian assistance and continue to bring assistance to people in time, and if possible, before the onset of the disaster.
And as we conclude, of course, what would success look like for this intervention? And of course, what messages would you like to leave with communities as they prepare for the dry season?
This activation is a first, but it is a proof of concept. It proves that the systems triggers and funding mechanisms work seamlessly in the South Sudanese context. WFP and its partners are looking actively to expand these anticipatory frameworks to other hazard-prone areas, including flood zones, areas that are on the banks of the Nile that are at risk of flooding. And scaling up will require sustained, flexible financing from international donors, of course, who are willing to invest. But success as well, and this is very, very important for me, is this is a wholly co-led, co-owned national milestone. The government of South Sudan, through ministries such as Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management, is central to this. It is central to policy coordination and data sharing. Our goal is not to run a parallel system, but to embed anticipatory action into South Sudan's national disaster management system and framework. We hope as well that through this activation, and if we continue the training of local authorities and working side by side, we are building the government's internal capacity as well to lead these climate resilience programs independently in the future.
Well, thank you very much, Thomson Ferry from WFP. Many thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me, Juma.